For taking a look at the Wisconsin state primary results. In the Republican race for governor, Tim Michaels won over Rebecca Clayfish. He was endorsed by former President Trump. She was endorsed by former Vice President Pence. On the Democratic Senate side, Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes won as predicted, and incumbent Senator Ron Johnson makes their midterm matchup official. And Assembly Speaker Robin Voss kept his seat by a narrow margin. We're looking at the state primary results, and you could join in at 800-642-1234. Did you vote in the primaries yesterday? Do you normally vote in these? If so, did your candidate win or lose? How do you feel about that? What are you watching for come November? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. Sean Johnson is WPR's State Capitol Bureau Chief. Sean, welcome back to Central Time.
Hey, Rob.
All right, let's start with the Republican primary for governor, that most hotly contested statewide race, I think. Construction executive Tim Michaels winning 47% of the vote. Former Lieutenant Governor Rebecca Clayfish, 42%. Dig into the results some for us, Sean.
I mean, it was a comfortable victory for Tim Michaels, I think you'd say. 5% does not sound big, but in the world of Wisconsin politics, and especially the way that this race seemed like it was shaping up, it's a pretty solid win for Michaels. What really stood out to me is I think everybody expected Rebecca Clayfish to do well in the suburban Milwaukee County. So especially Waukesha, Ozaukee, and Washington counties, the WOW counties. Those are the base, or were the base of Scott Walker's support as governor. They were expected to be the base of Rebecca Clayfish's support in her race for governor, her primary for governor. And she won two of those counties. But the fact that she didn't win all three and that Michaels actually carried Washington County is a sign that he kind of cut through some of the traditional boundaries that have divided recent primaries here. I mean, in recent Republican primaries, you've kind of had the Southeast Wisconsin candidate and then the candidate that wins in counties with smaller populations. In this case, Michaels won most of those counties, and then he also won Washington, a Republican powerhouse. So a big win for him for sure, but he's going to face a very different electorate in November.
Let's give a listen to Tim Michaels speaking last night after his win, talking about one of the reasons he may have won yesterday.
I'd like to thank President Trump for his support, for his endorsement. It was a tremendous validation of our meteoric rise in this campaign. He knows that we need to have new leadership in Madison, and he sees a lot of similarities. He didn't have to run for president. I don't have to run for governor. He wanted to drain the swamp. We found out it's a really big swamp, and I know that Madison needs firm executive leadership, and that's what I'm going to do as governor.
Can you talk about the role of that Trump endorsement, Sean?
I mean, I think it was critical. Tim Michaels got into this race in late April, and he did spend $12 million of his own money to get the word out about his campaign, which not everybody can do, obviously. And that, of course, was a factor in his race. And, you know, this may very well be a very good year for a candidate to make that outsider pitch, even if it doesn't exactly fit Michaels, somebody who's been involved with Republican politics for decades and who ran for U.S. Senate in 2004. All that said, though, after the Trump endorsement, you really saw his campaign shoot up in the polls, and you saw Clayfish's campaign, Rebecca Clayfish's campaign, who had been presumed the front runner for, you know, since she got into the race. You saw her campaign start to act differently, start to attack Michaels, which is something campaigns do when they're threatened or down. And so, you know, that Trump came to campaign for Michaels as it looked like the race was getting close in the closing days. He came to Wisconsin, and Trump he drives Republican votes. He drives a Republican base vote in a big way. And in a base election, Tim Michaels was able to win.
In many cases, the price of admission to get an endorsement from former President Trump has been to agree with his claims of election fraud and follow his a goal of somehow overturning results of the 2020 election. There was a Republican candidate who did that. His name was Tim Ramthan. He came in a distant third. What has Michael said about that older election, about future elections, about this election issue in general?
Yeah, I mean, you called it the price of admission, and I think that's the best way to put it. If you want to be a Republican who gets Donald Trump's support, you can't go out there and just overtly say the 2020 election was conducted legally and President Joe Biden definitely won. Tim Ramthan is on the other end of that spectrum and said that we need to overturn the results, but Trump didn't endorse him. We don't know why. You can speculate because it's because Trump, you know, cares quite a bit about his win-loss record in these primaries as he prepares to run for president in 2024. Tim Michaels didn't quite go as far as Tim Ramthan, but he has questioned the 2020 election and won't just outwardly say, yes, President Biden won. And he also won't promise to certify the 2024 presidential election should he become governor, which is a duty of the governor. I mean, that's a ceremonial duty of the governor that we would normally take for granted, but not anymore. And Michaels just won't say that he'll do it. So that's how he kind of dealt with that issue. He may try to, you know, pivot away from that now that it's a general election. We don't know yet because he didn't outright say, yeah, the election was stolen. But he is definitely on the record questioning the election and saying he's open to the idea of decertifying the 2020 election, something that election law experts say is impossible.
Talking to WPR State Capitol Bureau Chief Sean Johnson about yesterday's primary election results. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think of Tim Michaels' win in the Republican primary for governor? What issues do you want to hear about in the race for governor between incumbent Tony Evers, the Democrat, and now Tim Michaels, the challenger, a Republican? How about the race for Senate? Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes against incumbent Senator Ron Johnson. How about this stuff going on with Robin Voss, currently Assembly Speaker, winning a close race to keep his seat in the Assembly in a primary? You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Sean, if I told you 2 weeks ago Robin Voss is going to face a really tight race for re-election to the Assembly, you would have said, I think, Rob, that's even more wrong than you usually are.
I mean, when the initial results for that Voss race started to come out last night, the first batch of votes came out, and Voss was narrowly down to Adam Steen, his Republican challenger. It was sort of like a jaw-dropping moment, and it, I think, you know, it hit me. I think it hit a lot of people that, wow, this thing is really close. And you started to think about the possibility that Robin Voss, who has run the Assembly for a decade and really sets the agenda for Republicans, especially without a Republican governor, that he could lose his Assembly race to, you know, a virtual unknown. It's just, I think there's just a long list of reasons why this was one of the, I guess, craziest primaries that I can remember covering. And the fact that, like, Voss was extremely vulnerable there at the end, probably in large part to that, due in large part to that Donald Trump endorsement of Steen the week before people voted, is kind of mind-boggling.
Yeah, the quick story here. Voss hires former state Supreme Court Justice Michael Gableman to investigate the election outcome, rejects attempts to, again, claim this impossible power to overturn the outcome of that election. Trump turns against him. Gableman turns against him, records ads for the challenger. Cool. Here is Voss talking yesterday about holding off that primary challenge about Michael Gableman.
Mike Gableman is an embarrassment to the state. So I am going to take some time to talk with my caucus next week. We actually have a caucus on Tuesday. I'm going to talk about it with all the members and see what the next step should be. But I am not going to let my joy for tonight be focused on a person like Mike Gableman who isn't worth the time to talk about.
We don't talk about Bruno. We don't talk about Gableman, but there he was talking about him, Sean.
Yes. I mean, And we didn't know also, like last week, we didn't know if Gabelman was going to formally weigh in on this race. Trump had issued a statement when he announced that he was going to hold this rally in Wisconsin and said, oh, Mike Gabelman supports Adam Steen, too, when Trump endorsed Steen, that is. We just hadn't heard it from Gabelman. And even at the rally, Gabelman is there. He says the prayer for Trump. Trump makes repeated references to Mike Gabelman during this thing. But Gabelman won't say where he's at on this Voss race. Well, not only was he endorsing Adam Steen, he is cutting a robocall saying, fire the guy who hired me to do this investigation, and says that anything that Gabelman uncovered in his investigation, which did not show widespread fraud, was not because of Robin Voss, but in spite of him. I mean, Mike Gabelman is still on contract with the state, which Robin Voss has, under the power of that agreement, has the power to terminate. So we'll see if it's going to happen. I mean, Robin Voss seems to be hinting pretty strongly that he wants to do that. But the way power works when you're speaker, you got to make sure that your members are on board with such a decision like that. So he's saying he's going to talk to them first.
We're talking to WPR State Capitol Bureau Chief Sean Johnson about yesterday's primary elections and their aftermath and what comes next. And you could join in at 800-642-1234. What are your thoughts on the upcoming midterm elections after the results of the primaries? Do you think Michaels has a good chance against incumbent Tony Evers? How do you think Mandela Barnes stacks up against incumbent Senator Ron Johnson? What issues do you want to hear about? Do you want the 2020 election to be at the center of the 2022 election? Do you want the Gabelman probe to go on? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up here on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our conversation about yesterday's primary elections with WPR State Capitol Bureau Chief Sean Johnson. Big political news in the state. Quiet on the phones, though. Is this something you're not tracking yet, not worried about it until November? Or are you amped up about one or the other of these big statewide races for U.S. Senate, for governor, for some of the local elections as well? Join in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. Sean, you know, we're excited about this. Primary voters are excited. But what was the turnout like? How did it compare to your standard general election?
Oh, man. I got to admit, Rob, I have been doing stories since last night. And I don't know the turnout numbers as well as I should. So I do apologize for that.
Oh, that's okay. We'll check them out. Generally, though, these primaries don't see the turnout that we see in general elections. So it's kind of hard in general, I think, to read from them, from what happened yesterday, to what's going to be turnout like for the Democrats and Republicans come November.
Yeah, I'm absolutely. I mean, you're talking about in a primary, like a very different representation of Wisconsin than you're going to get in a general election. You're going to, and it's not just that you have, you know, in the Republican primary, obviously you have Republican voters, right? But you have more dedicated Republican voters. You don't have casual Republican voters, or maybe even a handful of independents in Wisconsin who would vote for either party in any given election. You know, once those people get brought into the fold, the numbers are going to go up. And so you're going to hear these candidates make or try to make pitches to this broader audience as they shift from the primary to the general. And, you know, the trick, it's not exactly easy doing that when you've had a very contentious Republican primary the way Michaels had with Clayfish, and where you're kind of dug in on some stuff.
I want to peek in at one more race. Now, the U.S. Senate race in Wisconsin, key to control of that body. One congressional seat at play in Western Wisconsin, the 3rd District. Briefly, you set that up for us, Sean.
Yeah, the 3rd District is one of really the only districts in Wisconsin that is still considered competitive. This is a district that was held for many years by Ron Kind, held the seat for 13 terms, announced last year that he would not be seeking re-election. And Kind is somebody who's kind of defied the political odds in some years. I mean, even as his district has shifted toward Republicans and really specifically toward Donald Trump, Kind has prevailed. And, you know, he is a Democrat who is normally with the Democratic Party on most things, but is also the kind of Democrat who will vote against his party on some issues and, you know, maybe bothers some national party leaders, but wins him his seat. You know, it's earned him a pretty good rep within the district. So that's the kind of Democrat who's been able to win there. And so these Democrats who are vying to replace him are trying to fill those shoes. And the person who's going to be on the ballot is Brad Paff. And Brad Paff was endorsed by Kind. He beat, he had 39% of the vote. Rebecca Cook had 31%. Deb McGrath, 19%. Mark Newman, about 11%. So Paff will face off against Derek Van Orden, who lost narrowly to Kind in the last election. But, you know, I think it's going to be a tough one for Democrats, given the kind of political headwinds they're facing and the way that district has been shifting. But that is going to be one of the competitive congressional races that we have here in Wisconsin, especially since it's open.
Let's go to our callers. Louise is with us in Dodgeville. Louise, hello.
Hi, I have a question for your guest. What is your opinion about now that Michaels is the Republican candidate? Are moderate Republicans going to vote for Tony Evers instead? So, and I can take my answer off the air.
Louise, thanks for the call. Sean, we don't have a ton of crossover voting in the state. Is there polling on something like that?
Yeah, I don't know. There's going to be a Marquette poll coming out here soon. And not that they're the only pollster in town, but they have polled Wisconsin a lot, and they're going to be releasing something here, their first since the primary. And so we'll get a better idea of where people land on a straight Michaels versus Evers matchup. I don't think you'd expect a lot of moderate Republicans to go over to Evers just because of how polarized the state is. I'm not saying it's not going to happen, but I'm not sure that that's part of the Evers reelection plan. Although Evers does definitely try to reach out to that sort of, you know, mystical independent voter out there. I mean, we know they exist. And he talks about signing a Republican budget. You know, part of his message is that he has done stuff that Republicans like. I don't think you would look at the way that state government has operated in the last few years and say that, like, he has a great relationship with the Republicans who run the place. But he definitely has a record where he can point to and say, hey, you know, forget about how it happened. I signed this tax cut. I signed this Republican budget. And whether he's reaching out to moderate Republicans or independents, whatever, it's part of the Evers brand.
Louise, thanks for the call. Nate joins us next in Appleton. Nate, hello.
Hi. My question was, what is this continuing this investigation? What is it even going to accomplish anymore? And is this what every election is going to look like from here on out, where it's investigated for 2-3 years after the fact? I can take the answer off air. Thanks.
Nate, thanks for the call. Sean, is multi-year postmortems for elections potentially going to become a new normal?
Man, I hope not. I mean, I think part of the reason we have this investigation is because the leader of the Republican Party has not let the election go. And he still holds, obviously, look at Tim Michaels' victory. He still holds considerable sway with Republicans. And that, I would say, is why we have an investigation right now. I don't know if the election is going to, or if the investigation, excuse me, is going to continue. It's not really continuing now. Former Justice Gableman is on the state payroll. His office still exists, but Voss has basically said it's there to for the time being anyway, fight these lawsuits that challenge the legislature's subpoena authority to conduct the investigation. So there are still these lawsuits that are playing out. There's also open records lawsuits that Speaker Voss and Mike Gabelman have lost at circuit court level. Those are playing out, and so the contract with Gabelman has basically been to fight those, to continue those. And once the subpoena power stuff is worked out, who knows? But as of this moment, there's not really an investigation going on. I don't know how they fight the lawsuits if they were to fire Gabelman, for example. If there's an Office of Special Counsel and the special counsel disappears, what happens?
And just our last half a minute or so, Sean, I'm guessing we're going to see a lot of money flooding into Wisconsin with our high-profile races for governor and U.S. Senate.
Yeah, I was kind of amazed to know that there's really, at least according to the Cook Political Report, there's four governor's races in the entire country that they consider toss-ups this year, and Wisconsin's one of them. And donors know the power of governorships. They know the power of a governor in Wisconsin. So money is definitely going to flow here. And then you have Ron Johnson, a Republican U.S. senator who, because of his kind of outspoken ways in the past few years, is very popular with his base, but not as popular with independent voters. I mean, his approval rating is not great, and he is seen as vulnerable. So he's going to have his supporters certainly throwing lots of money into his race to try to keep it and keep him in the Senate. And Democrats are going to view that as one of their real potential pickups in the U.S. Senate.
Sean, we'll leave it there. Thanks, as always, for joining us.
Thanks, Rob.
That's Sean Johnson, WPR State Capitol Bureau Chief. He talked to us about yesterday's primary election results.